Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9 here with a special guest, Omer Raviv. How are you, buddy?
Great, how are you?
So you're in for MVP Summit, and we thought we'd have you in to show us some cool products that you guys are building. Tell us about yourself and your company.
So my name is Omer Raviv. I'm the CTO and co-founder of OzCode. Mm-hmm. And OzCode is a Visual Studio extension that makes debugging C# code in Visual Studio a whole lot more fun and efficient.
Okay.
And it's basically where you install it on top of your Visual Studio, and mm-hmm. we sort of get in there and replace the normal debugging windows, like mm-hmm. the Quick Watch and the Data Tip,
sure.
and give you just a more convenient experience. The whole idea is that we're supposed to be there when you're, you know, banging your head against the wall mm-hmm. and making it so that your time to aha factor, the time it takes you from like, oh, how do I solve this thing, to like that aha moment
yeah.
where you, I got it, we're supposed to make that time frame as small as possible so
that's
that
awesome.
You know, you can spend more time writing code, refactoring, doing the fun stuff rather than debugging.
So let's talk about a little bit about the actual extension. It's an extension that plugs into Visual Studio.
Exactly.
And so if you're already doing stuff in Visual Studio, it sort of doesn't interfere with your whole Visual Studio productivity stuff.
Exactly. We try to blend in there really well, not get in your way too much. Just mm-hmm. give you extra information on top of your code editor.
Awesome. Well, let's see what you got, bud.
Sure. So I'll show you some features of that were introduced in OzCode version 2.0.
Okay.
That's the version we really sim shipped with Visual Studio 2015 on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest change in version 2.0 is this whole idea of a heads-up display for the debugger. And so what we're trying to do with this feature is we're adding all these visualizations on top of your code.
I see.
So we're trying to solve that cognitive dissonance that happens when you're always looking at your code and then looking down at the watch window, looking
right.
at the code, down at the watch window. So what you can see here is that we've got this switch statement, and OzCode is doing predictive analysis. So mm-hmm. we can already see that the current gender is female, so we're going to land here in this case clause.
So I see.
All of the irrelevant code, the dead code path, is de-emphasized here.
And that's just to help me as a developer know, okay, if there's some, because assuming when you're debugging, you think maybe something is wrong, you're looking at this and you want to automatically eliminate the code that's not important when it comes to the actual stuff that's happening.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And you've got another heads-up display over here at the top, which is showing you the current item.
Uh-huh.
And I can customize the way everything looks. So when I hover over the customers, I get the OzCode data tip
mm-hmm.
that replaces the native Visual Studio one. And I'm looking at this list of customers, and because nobody bothered to implement toString on the customer class, I get this display, which is not very useful, right?
No,
I can't really
not,
tell
yeah.
them apart. So what I can do with OzCode here is I'll just open one of these, and I'll use these stars down here. So I'll star, let's say, the full name and the ID, and you see that they bubble up to the top. And basically what I've done here is I've told OzCode, from this moment on, I want you to forever and ever remember that these two fields or properties are the things that are relevant to me. And
that's
so,
awesome.
Yeah, and so it will always remember that. And that's not the only thing you get out of this data tip window, so you also get a search. So
mm-hmm.
let's say the problem we're trying to debug has something to do with a customer that's in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can just type in Cincinnati, and you'll notice that at first it didn't find anything, because it first only searches three levels down the object graph. But as soon as I click search deeper, whoops. So yeah, let's do that again. So I'm looking for someone from Cincinnati.
It's cool that it went away, because it actually remembered the way you had it set before. Remember how you had it have full name and ID?
Yeah.
When you went back, it actually remembered that.
Yes, exactly. And also the heads up display up here at the top was updated.
Oh, that's true. I did not see that.
Yeah. And so now, each time I click search deeper, it will search two levels down the object graph. So let's do that again. So I'm looking for a customer from Cincinnati, and I click search deeper, and it went through all of the collection
mm-hmm.
and found that one customer that's in Cincinnati. It's this Mr. Virgil. And if I want to see the rest of the fields of the properties, I can just expand this eye and see all of the rest of the fields and the properties of that one object that I was looking for.
Awesome.
Cool. So now you'll notice that as we saw, the heads-up display is updated up here at the top. So as I step through this if statement, we see that the heads-up display is updated.
Mm-hmm.
And now the next thing I'm going to show you is how OzCode can help you break down a complex Boolean expression. So let's say you have this big if statement and you want to figure out, okay, why did this thing return true or why did this return false? Mm-hmm. Usually what people do when they have that problem is they go through here and they take each part of here and they put it into the quick watch window or the watch window.
Just to see if it's the same.
Yes, yeah. So this one's false and then the next one is also false probably. And you'll go through and try to do all the Boolean logic in your head. Instead of doing that, what you can do is you just step in. As soon as you step in here, OzCode is doing predictive analysis again, mm-hmm. and it's showing us that this entire thing is true. That's why that there's a check mark. Yeah, exactly. And the reason it's true is because the first three sub-expressions were false and the last one was true.
I see. And it actually highlights it to show you which parts of the statement are false and which is true.
Exactly.
Cool.
And also it's showing us that we're not going to be stepping into the else clause, mm-hmm. but we're going to be stepping in here. And now I can click this button if I want to drill in here. And I can use this, either the mouse or the keyboard, to navigate through and see all the different parts of the expression. So, for example, this first part returned false because we were comparing the string US to the string France.
Uh-huh.
And again, here I'm seeing a city. If I'm seeing an address and it's represented as a city. And if I don't care about the city, let's say I only care about the zip code, I can dynamically just change that and the heads-up display will update.
I see.
Gotcha. Okay, so now I can scroll through here, see what is happening, including what this method returned, and I can see, okay, this one was the string visa was compared to the string visa, so it was true. Now, the nicest thing about this whole predictive analysis, if you ask me, is the way it works with edit and continue. Mm-hmm. Because I've been using edit and continue since the new edit and continue that was introduced in Visual Studio 2015, since it was released. And to me, the thing that's hardest to get used to in Visual Studio 2015 is just how good edit and continue has become.
Right.
I used to have that sort of muscle memory response where every time I figure out the bug in my head, my fingers go for the Shift F5 keys because I know, okay, I'm going to fix this and then run it again. But now the Roslyn team and the debugger team at Microsoft did such a fantastic job that I had to teach my fingers not to do that anymore. And what we've done with OzCode is we've tried to augment the edit and continue experience and make it more fun by adding an experience we call live coding.
Okay.
And what live coding does is that it allows you to see what effect the changes you make with edit and continue do right as you do them. It's like an instant response. So here I was actually expecting this if statement to return true rather than false. And so OzCode is showing me the first part was false, and we had an AND operator.
So the other one doesn't even matter.
Right, exactly. It's a short circuit evaluation. So I can already see my stupid mistake over here, of course. I misspelled the word MasterCard. Mm-hmm. That's typical of me. So as soon as I fix that, I get instant feedback. I can see, okay, now the first expression is true, but the second one is still false.
Right.
So now I'll fix that as well. I have a mistake here where I meant it to be not equal to null. And voila, I get instant feedback on my changes.
What do the numbers represent next to it?
That is a part of a prototype that we're working on, which is a thing that helps you debug link queries. And I'll show you more about that in just a few minutes.
Awesome.
Cool. So now another very cool thing we have is the way we visualize and predict exceptions. So let's jump ahead through here and go and see that. So the way OzCode works, it predicts the next statement of execution. So here we're inside the send thank you letter method. Mm-hmm. You can see another very nice heads-up display over here, which is the parameters heads-up display that shows you the value of each parameter. And of course, it remembers that we said full name or ID are what matters. So that's mm-hmm. what it's showing us. I can always turn this thing on and off through here. And now what I'll do here is I want to show you how OzCode behaves when you get a null reference exception.
Okay.
And to do that, I'll just do something that's also always very useful to do in the debugger, which is change the value of a variable, which you can do whenever you want. So I'll change the value of customer to null, just so I could show you this feature. And this is what you get. You get a warning. So this is the yellow line of code. It's called the instruction pointer. It's actually, and not everyone realizes this, it's not the line of code that's executed. It's the one that's about to be executed as soon as we hit F10. So all this code is predicting that when I hit F10, we're going to get a null reference exception. So it's telling us it's about to occur, and it's highlighting in red the part of the expression that's null.
I see.
So if we had like a huge statement here and figuring out, okay, which part here is null can get pretty tricky.
Yeah, and it's cool that you can actually see in red where the problem is coming from.
Exactly, yeah. So let's fix this by adding a simple null check. So we can do it two ways. So first off, we can just say customer is not equals to null, and now we'll see that the part on the left here is false, and so we didn't get to the null reference exception. Right. Or if we're using C# 6, we can just use the marvelous Elvis operator.
That's right. Question dot.
Exactly. And now what it's showing us is that customer is null, so we didn't evaluate the risk of this expression. And null in Chicago is not the same thing, so the entire expression is false. That's why it's in red.
That's cool.
Cool. Awesome. So now let's jump ahead, and I'll show you a few more cool things about the heads-up display. And let's go here and step into this method. So we're inside a method that sends gifts to customer.
Okay.
And the points of this demo is to show you that Ozcode supports all the different sort of syntax we have in the C# language. So we can see that you're using the null coalescing operator. Uh-huh. So the part on the left here is not null, it's a Raspberry Pi. So the part on the right won't be evaluated. So Ozcode is showing us that. Here we're using the ternary operator. So this thing returned false, so this part won't be evaluated. And so the other part returned 30. Here we're calling try parse, and we can actually see a visualization of the out parameters. So we call try parse with number 21 as a string, mm-hmm. get it out as an integer, and try parse returned true. Here we're doing plus equal, so 30 plus 21 is 51. We can see what ref parameters are going to be, what's coming into this method and what's coming out. And the nicest thing about this is that you can actually see a visualization of a return value. So that's a problem that a lot of people have a lot of the times, where you are at the end of the method, you want to figure out, okay, what is this method going to return, but you can't do that. So what?
Usually people add a variable
exactly.
and then hover over it, which is kind of a pointless exercise.
Right. You're just doing a lot of work to please the debugger.
Sure.
And so what you can do here is you can just open this up and you can see, okay, this returned 60, this method returned 52, and so the entire thing is 112. Okay? And by the way, another technique that a lot of people do, instead of creating a local variable, is they'll just take this entire thing, right?
And do a quick watch.
And what many people don't realize is that when you do whenever you call a method from the watch window or the quick watch window, that method actually executes inside of the debuggy process,
right?
And that can have a lot of bad side effects. So, so let's say the get extra freebies cost method is something that changes the state of some static variable, mm-hmm. or it goes off into the database and drop table students or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those things will actually happen.
Right.
So what Ozcode is doing here is it's doing a lot of magic tricks and voodoo, mm-hmm. To sort of emulate and figure out what this method is about to return without incurring any side effects.
That's awesome.
And I want to show you a magic trick to sort of better explain this. And like all good magic tricks, this one starts with doing file new project. So let's do that. I'll do file new project, console application. And I'm going to write out this tiny program that's basically just going to print out the alphabet. So let's do that. I'll have a static char letter, and I'll initialize it to the letter A. I'll have a tiny method called next, and I'll say here return letter plus plus, so give us the next letter. And down here on main, I'll just say string the alphabet equals the alphabet. And then I'll do next, and then next, and then next. And so now that I've done that.
There you go.
Yep. Oops, ran too far. Let's run it again. And so, okay. No, actually, let me restart this.
Yeah, because it actually went to the next thing.
Okay. So now I rerun this program, and we're on this line of code. And again, this line of code hasn't executed yet. But Ozcode is smart enough to actually predict the future and tell us this thing is going to return the alphabet is ABC. I can open this up and I see, okay, this call to next return A, this one returned B, this one returned C. But if I look at the state of the alphabet variable, it's still null and letter is still A. So this hasn't actually happened yet.
I see.
And the really cool thing about this is that when now that I make changes with edit and continue, the yellow line becomes sort of like a ripple in and of itself. So let's say I decide I want to add separators here. I'll just go ahead and do that. And we'll see the changes happen instantly.
And that's without sort of affecting the static state of letter.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's that. Now, there are certain things, of course, that we can't emulate. Like if you're going off to the database and updating rows, that can't be emulated.
Right.
Because it has some sort of observable side effect to the outside world.
I see.
So let's show how Ozcode deals with that.
Okay.
So I'll change the get extra freebies cost method to something that has an observable side effect. So I'll just do console write line. But this could have been a call to the database
sure.
just as well. And now let's see what happens. So now we're seeing partial results, right? Ozcode is, because Ozcode wants to be very paranoid and never execute code without you knowing about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's showing us total price is sticky, but it's telling us I'm not sure I can give you this one. So what I can do here is I'll just open this up and I can click this button and this will be essentially telling Ozcode,
execute.
Okay, yeah, trust me on this one. I know what I'm doing. I can even go here and say, always evaluate this method without asking me. But there's actually a simpler solution. So what I can do is now that I've got to this point, I can just hit F10. And what happens when I hit F10 is that Ozcode can show us what get extra freebies cost returned, but it didn't evaluate this method twice. It just captured the value that this method returned when I hit F10.
I see. So instead of trying to predict and then running it, if you go F10, you go to the next step, it'll show you what actually came out without running it twice.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. And so if we run this method again, we'll see that there's another very cool thing about this. There's a thing where it actually remembers history. So you know that problem you often get when you're debugging, so I step through all the way to the end of my method,
mm-hmm.
and now I want to go back and realize what happened back here. So what did happen in that try parse? What were all the values, and what did this method return? I can just click these glasses and see the history. So those are retained. Even if I step into a method and back out, I can go back and figure out what happened before.
That's cool because, I mean, sometimes we just press F10 too many times.
Exactly.
And now you're able to go back and actually say, oh, man, I totally forgot what happened. Let's see the history, because obviously the history might also mutate some of the variables. Is it going to remember the past and what those variables were in the past as well?
Yeah, so we can see, you know, actually this is historical results.
Right.
So when I click this, I'm seeing what gift was back then.
If
there's the third line of code changes gift, then it will become another variable, but we'll still be able to see the history. So this is our historical view
of
your code.
And that's awesome because you might be changing that variable without knowing, and you'll be able to say, oh, wait, it's this here, but it's this down here. I must have set something wrong.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. Okay. So another very cool thing you can do with this heads-up display is there's a feature we call the magic glance. And basically, you click it through here, or there's a shortcut, Shift-Alt-Q. And basically, what that does is it shows showing you a sort of a one line of summary about each line of code as you're executing. So this can be very useful when you're debugging like very, very complicated equations or whatever, complicated scenarios. Now, when I step through my code, each step over,
It's going to drop those hints there,
and I can always toggle this on and off very quickly with Shift-Alt-Q.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was the heads-up display visualization. And so what I want to show you next is actually a prototype that we're working on.
Cool.
And everything except this. The thing that I'm showing you now is things that are actually in the product, but this link visualization feature we're working on is a prototype that we're thinking of for the next version of Ozcode.
Awesome.
And what we're trying to do here is we're trying to solve the sort of the usability that breakdown that happens when we're trying to debug link queries. So this example over here, I've got this very articulate poem that I wrote. It goes 99 little bugs in the code, 99 bugs in the code. Take one down, patch it around, 127 bugs in the code. Repeat until no more bugs.
Right.
And so when I hit F10 here, you'll see that Ozcode is doing predictive analysis. So it's showing us that there's this algorithm that is trying to calculate what is the most frequently used word in my poem. And we're using a link query for that. Mm-hmm. And we were expecting the most frequent word to be the word bugs, but it's actually the word code. So first, let's run it in our head and see if we got it right. So the word code appears 1, 2, 3 times, whereas the word bugs appears 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
So we obviously have a bug somewhere here.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to debug this. And the problem with debugging link queries is that when you step over one in the debugger,
It's done.
Either finished or it threw an exception,
sure.
But you get absolutely no visibility into what actually happened inside. And that creates a situation when you're working with link, you're often sacrificing debuggability for readability.
Right.
And what we're trying to do is to change that. So the more sort of functional, declarative style of coding you use, the easier it becomes to debug.
Awesome.
And so what we're doing here, so I'll go back here and I'll try to figure out this bug. So we're seeing the way we do this is we split the text, then we filter out the empty strings, we group by the word, and then we order it by the count, the amount of time the word appears, and then we take the last one.
Right.
Makes sense, right? So first thing you'll notice is these numbers over here that represent how many items came out of each link operator. And again, this is predictive analysis, so when I make changes with edit and continue, it will immediately update. So let's say I decided I'm going to group by the length of the string instead of just the string itself. So it will update and show me, okay, now you've got 6 groups, not 19 mm-hmm. like we had before. And so now I want to see what actually happened inside of this link query. How did the different values flow through the different lambda expressions? So I'll click this where clause first. And this will open up this window. And this window is basically telling us, here's what happened the before and after of the where clause. So on the left-hand side, we see all of the items that came into the where clause.
Wow.
And on the right side, we see everything that came out of the where clause. And so these check marks say that the where predicate returned true, and these X's represent something that didn't pass on through to the next link query.
So let's just to be clear, so what you did is we did a split, mm-hmm. and then the split is passing each of those, it's an enumerable object, it's being passed down into the where. You click on the number over to the right, or uh-huh. to the right, and what you're doing is you're actually seeing a visualization of everything that came out from the split, and now what's going to happen in the where.
Exactly.
Okay.
And now I can navigate back and forth between mm-hmm. the different link operators. So let's look at the word bugs, because that's the one we're interested in. So now I'll click next, and we move on from where to the group by. Okay? And basically, what we're seeing here, so again, now we're seeing the grouping. So when I click on the word bugs, you can see, okay, this group has a count of 3, so only 3 items like we saw before, and there are this 3. So we have another one over here, which went into a different group. So that's our bug.
So let's pause, because I think you went a little fast, because obviously you've been doing this for a while. So what happened is when you hit next, you transition from the where clause into the group by clause.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we're highlighting in purple the one that we're investigating right now.
Awesome.
And by the way, I don't even really need to look at this huge thing on the right here. Because if you'll notice, we're also painting the information right on top of your code editor. So if I pick a word here, like the word bugs over here, we're seeing this display on top of the code editor that's telling us, okay, the word bugs came from here. It passed through the where clause, which returned true because it's not string empty. That's why this is painted green.
Right.
And then it went into the group by. We're grouping by bugs. And then the order by, there were three occurrences.
Yep.
So each time I click here, if I click a different word, this thing is updated. And I can see, okay, what were the situation in each one of these. And again, I can use a search. Search is something we have in all of OzCode's windows. So if I type in the search here, I can click each one of these and sort of see which group it went to.
I see.
And so that's what you get. You get basically the before and after of each part of the link query. And so now we're seeing that the word bugs went, when I click next again and switch from the group by to the order by, I can see that it went down here along with all of these other groups that returned free results.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't matter, so it picked another word. So let's go ahead and fix this bug real quick.
Okay.
So we noticed that there are two problems with the occurrences of the word bugs as it was represented here. First off, it didn't pick off that closing parenthesis, and we don't care if it's a lowercase or an uppercase word, it's the same word. So let's go ahead and fix that. So first off, I'll update my split. So I'll add the separator here. And you'll notice right now there are 79 items coming out of split. As soon as I add this thing, we see that there are 80 results.
One more, yeah.
One more. And now I'll go ahead and update my my query to represent the fact that we don't care about uppercase or lowercase.
Right.
So I go ahead and here add the select clause. So I'm adding select I to lower. Okay. And now I'll do this again slower so you can see. So now, right now it's telling us we've got 18 results. Before I added the select, there were 19 results.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we can put that again. And just to, let's verify that we've indeed solved this bug. So I click here. Whoops. Bam, bam, bam. Let's do that again. Let's do that again once more. So now I'm clicking here.
Okay.
And we see that if I follow the logic of what happened to the word bugs and I'll navigate through the link query once again, we're seeing the word bugs went here. Oh, actually, let's look at this one because this one was the one that's failing.
Uh-huh.
So it was an uppercase, the word bugs. We turned it into lowercase in the select clause. And then it went into this other group, and this group was actually had 4 items.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went into the order by, and the order by saw that it was 4 items, so it put it last. So now when I hit F10, we'll again see predictive analysis and see that indeed we fixed this bug. Yeah, it's green.
That's really cool, my friend. So any more features, or maybe where can we go to find out more about OzCode?
So you can go to oz-code.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can check out, it's a 30-day free download.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play with it, give us feedback. I'll just do a bit of name dropping for the other features. So you have and all sorts of things. So you have the ability to show every single instance of a value. So that's called feature we call show all instances. We improve the way you handle exceptions. So if you have that thing where you have to go to the inner exception and the inner exception, we make that a lot simpler. We have a trace points feature. So Visual Studio has a feature called trace points.
Mm-hmm.
And OzCode has basically trace points on steroids.
Nice.
You want to see that real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Show you very cool demo there. So trace points is the ability to add logging to your program while you're debugging. It's a feature that already exists inside of Visual Studio. So if you go here and open this up, you get a feature where you can click this actions thing and type in a logging statement, and that will all go into the output window.
Okay.
And what we're doing is we're basically improving the usability of trace points. Because trace points are kind of tricky to work with because they all go into the output window. And then you have to do a lot of scrolling to see what you're doing. So in this scenario, what's happening here is that I'm working for Amazon.com. And one day, the boss walks into my room and tells me that some customers are getting the expected delivery date on their confirmation email as sometime in the year 2020.
Uh-oh.
And some are not. And we're not even sure, like, what's the common pattern here? Like, why is this happening? So I look into the code and I see that I have this parallel for each loop and it's looping for all of the different customers. And of course, we have another, inside of the send pending orders method, we have to go for each for all of the orders, calculate the estimated delivery date and send those orders. And what we're seeing here is that this expected delivery date actually looks okay. So what I'll do here is I'll just add a bunch of logging. I'll do good old-fashioned printf debugging.
Sure.
So I'll go to my magic wand, and the magic wand is sort of like the bearer of good news. This is OzCode telling you there's all sorts of useful stuff you could be doing with this bit of the information.
Awesome.
And I'll click create trace point with value. And this basically gives you something that shows you what the pre-filled pre-filled expression would be. And now I can have a real quick shortcut to add a bunch of stuff here. So I'll add the destination, and you'll notice it's added up at the top up here, and the ID and the item. Close that up real quick and run my program. And now when I run my program, you'll notice that these messages are all coming in down here at the bottom. And so now when I click that, it opens up the trace points window. Mm-hmm. And the trace points window is essentially a fully featured log viewer that we've baked into Visual Studio. So that's why we call it trace points on steroids, because it's a much better experience than looking at the output window and scrolling through and looking for what you want. So, and it's especially useful for doing multi-threaded debugging, because the problem with multi-threaded debugging is, of course, that you step from one step, and you jump from one thread to another, mm-hmm. and it very quickly becomes a problem of just trying to juggle too many balls at your head at once. And so what we're doing here is we give you this ability to filter by thread, so I can see just one thread was doing at a time. And we can also show you what the call stack was when that message was written. And so now I can go ahead and I can search through. And so the only thing I know about this bug right now is that it has something to do with the year 2020. So I'll just type in 2020 into the search. And we can very quickly see that sort of the common pattern here is that all these orders are the orders going to Paris. And if I remove this, I can see that the ones to Tel Aviv and Berlin and London are actually okay. So this is just an ability to dynamically add logging to my program without having to stop, recompile, run it again, get to that point I was when the bug happened, and then run it again, mm-hmm. and then change it up and do the same thing every time I need to improve my logging. So that's trace points.
That's awesome. So why don't you briefly tell us sort of some of the other features that you have, just in summary, and then we'll do a call to action for people to go and download and take a look at it.
Cool. Awesome. So the other features, I'll just mention these briefly, do some name dropping. So we've got, let me run this. Okay. So we've got a search that we saw. We've got compare, and compare is the ability to compare objects and collections in memory, just like you would with a diff viewer, just for actual objects. And you can even take a snapshot of a given object, then run some code, and then compare that same variable
to the snapshot. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you've got a feature called for C, which shows you where you are in the for each loop and run ahead in the for each loop mm-hmm. very quickly. You've got setter breakpoints. So setter breakpoints are allowing you to put a breakpoint on a property rather than a line of code.
Oh, interesting.
It's sort of like data breakpoints we used to have in native debugging in C++. So if some property gets a state that's bad, but you don't know when and where exactly that happens during the execution of our program, we can just put a breakpoint on the property itself and it will break whenever we want. We also have setter trace points, which will just write to the trace whenever that property changes.
Cool.
And we've got show all instances that I mentioned, seeing every instance. We've got custom expressions. So custom expressions is a way of adding an expression to the way I'm seeing an object in the debugger without actually changing that object. So sometimes what I want to see is actually just a calculation upon that object, not the actual properties itself. So I could hit Shift F5 and change the true string or add another property just so it would be easier to debug. Mm-hmm. But custom expressions will let me just add that while I'm debugging. And we have filtering and the ability to do something like where while you're debugging on a collection. And we've got quick attach, so that will allow you to very quickly attach to a given process by hitting just one key rather than finding it in a big list.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's just some of the features. And people can go and check out OzCode at oz-code.com. Mm-hmm. Click on the big download free trial button. It's a 30-day free trial. And check it out.
This is awesome. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Again, go to oz-code.com. Check out the 30-day free trial. Again, I'm here with Omer.
Yep.
Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks so much for watching. Again, my name is Seth Juarez from Channel 9. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.